This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We got a lot going on today, but we've got breaking news from the scene of Cochon 555, the big pig out that's happening today at Union Market. We got Brady Lowe, the founder, on there.
Hey, Brady, so how is Cochon 555 shaping up for later today? Give us the 411.
I'm here. I'm standing on stage, and it's looking pretty amazing. I am really, really excited about the chef lineup today. We've got Jonah Kim of a new and upcoming restaurant, so you guys get a little preview of that.
Called Yona.
We've also got Danny Lee from Mandu, so they're doing a traditional Korean set, which I'm really pumped about. Jeffrey Boobin from Medallia is coming, and I'm sure that they're coming to win. Spike Mendelson built a cabin completely in the middle of the Union Market space.
Cool.
And he's got an entire pig skeleton on his table and three fryers.
That sounds really sexy.
I'm not sure what's sexy about that, Brady. But...
And then Victor Albasu is here from Del Campo, and he knows his way around a pig and meat really well. So each of the five chefs, they each got a whole pig about a week ago, and they've had, you know, their teams at home cooking this thing into, like, the most delectable of the morsels, and they're hoping that everybody who comes to the event today votes for the best bite of the day. So it's a big campaign. And what they're campaigning for is basically sustainable agriculture and to talk about, you know, heritage breed pigs and small family farmers. In addition to that, we've got a mezcal bar. So you get like a full run of like the best mezcals in the state. We've got the tartar bar. We've got Hyder Rum from Estadio doing a tapas bar with the wines of Rioja. We've got a full bourbon bar where you get five different bourbons. And they're all in a perfect Manhattan setup. We've got Omagong Brewery. We've got oysters from Rappahannock. We've got a cheese bar with Righteous Cheese. We've got Punch Kings, who all are like a, it's like a five bar.
Yeah, tell us quickly about Punch Kings, can you please?
Yeah, so Punch Kings is like, since we have five chefs doing five whole pigs, we also have to have five bartenders doing five whole bottles. And they each get a bottle, they get a punch bowl, they can bring the ingredients from home, and they get 30 minutes to make a punch, serve it to some judges, which I hope, Nikki, you're going to be on the judging panel today.
I'm on the judging panel of everything. What, are you kidding?
And they just basically get to sip, like, these amazing punches. They're punches that they would make for their friends. Like, it's an industry-facing competition.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making, like, really kind of, like, out-there kind of punches with Breckenridge bourbon. You know, besides that, and whoever wins that goes to Aspen during the classic when we do Grand Cochon. So the five chefs here today, one of the chefs will go advance, and so will one bartender from to represent D.C.
Going to Aspen. Okay, so Brady, just give us the quick, how do you get, how many tickets are left? Are there any tickets left, and where can people get them?
On the website, yes, we have tickets. They are $100 at the door at 5 o'clock. It means you can pay at the door in cash. Or you can jump online at cochon555.com. That's cochon555.com.
Okay, great.
And tickets are available, and you know, you can come at VIP for $200, or you can buy online for $125.
All right, Brady, I got to cut you off, but I will be seeing you later, and thanks so much for calling in quickly this morning. I'm sure it's going to be an incredible event.
It's going to be fun.
Okay,
thank
great.
You guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brady.
Bye.
You talked for 555 minutes. All right, so we've got a whole lot of other guests here in the studio. Debbie Shore is with us. Debbie's the founder of Share Our Strength.
Mm-hmm.
And Share Our Strength is focused on the fact that one good fact and one bad fact. The good fact is they want no kid to start off the day hungry in America, and it's a shame that any kid would. And right now, about 1 out of 5 kids in America are hungry,
which is
a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Share Our Strength is all about fixing that problem, and they've got a big event coming up. We'll be talking to Debbie about that.
They have lots of events coming up. Not just one big event, but
lots of big events.
Okay.
Debbie just kicked me under the table.
Okay. And how hard have you been trying to get into some restaurants around D.C.? Or what about when you travel? You know, you want to go to the hottest restaurant and you can't get in, you don't know anybody? Well, there is a new app for that, and it is called Table 8. Now, it costs you a little bit of money to get that hard-to-get reservation, but we have the founder of Table 8, Santosh...
Jairam,
thank you. I didn't want to mispronounce that. Calling in later from San Francisco. He's going to tell us all about this fabulous new app that you can use to get into that hard-to-get restaurant.
All right, so I'm sure that you wake up in the morning saying to yourself, who has D.C.'s best restaurant, best burger, best bar, best volunteer experience?
I say that all the time.
I know you do. I know. You talk in your sleep.
Desperate
well,
to know.
Well, if you think you know or you want the answers, you're going to find out because the Washington City Paper's annual Best of D.C. issue is going to hit the streets on April 9th. And that evening, there's going to be a huge celebration at the Building Museum hosted by Washington City Paper. That'll announce the winners, and there are a gazillion categories. There are 271 categories. You're going to find out about that. Chloe Fadina from the paper is in today, and she's going to tell us all about it.
Yep, so that's going to be great. All right, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest.
All right,
I don't want to butcher anybody's name.
Why would you butcher? There are no butchers here. We're talking, we're talking New Yorkers.
Yes.
So Nikolai Konik is has been in many times. He's from Drink Right. And he's a brand ambassador for a number of brands. And this time he's brought in two friends, David and Dorit Namias, right? I did it right.
Yeah,
look at me. They are distillers from Yonkers. They make machia, which is made from figs. It's a traditional Moroccan drink. And I'm going to bet a lot of you haven't heard of it. You're going to find out all about it.
And I bet you're going to see it.
I had a sip of it,
places.
And I just called AA to...
Okay.
Easy.
Let's start with you guys.
Nikolai, I'm going to ask you to step up to the mic first, please. I would love for you to tell us how you found this liqueur and how you met up with them.
Well, it's actually a liqueur.
It's a liqueur.
Yeah.
It's a liqueur?
Spirit.
It's a spirit,
liqueur, yeah.
Not a liqueur.
No,
okay, thank you for...
It's an 80-proof spirit.
Okay.
I like to correct
it's
you.
It's a matter of enunciation.
You know what
get
it is, so it's a
system.
Liqueur.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But it is an 80-proof spirit. It's an eau de vie, essentially. So,
okay.
Eau de vie, you know, brandy is an eau de vie,
mm-hmm.
made from grapes. Eau de vie usually refers to a spirit made from a fruit base.
Okay.
Obviously, 100% figs in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I met these lovely folks through a friend of mine in Boston, Alexi Baratis. Shout out. He's got a.
I'm sure he's listening.
He's got a little outfit called Inspired Beverage,
mm-hmm.
and about a year ago, actually, exactly a year ago, I was up in Boston, and we were hanging out. He's like, "You got to try this mahia." And I said, well, "What did you call me?" And he said, "No, taste it, taste it." So I was like, "I found it to be very unique and really totally different from anything I'd had before." And he connected me with David and Dorit, and then we've got mahia into the Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia market as of September of last year.
All right. Now, David, why don't you step up to the mic real quick? We've got about a minute, and you're going to be on throughout the show, but
yeah.
Give us a quick history of mahia.
Yeah, basically, mahia, it's a word in Moroccan, and it means water of life. And it's the drink that mostly the Jews of Morocco, they distilled over a century. And I grew up in this family where my parents, my grandparents distilled mahia. And usually they distill it from figs or sometimes from dates. And, you know, I had this dream exactly to bring mahia to United States and to revive this tradition.
Well, we're going to sip plenty. And when we come back to you, we're going to talk about because it's got a nice, strong flavor and there is a little fig aftertaste. I want to talk to you about how you
smell.
Do that.
The smell is beautiful.
But let's talk to our friend Debbie Shore, who's back again. Debbie is one of the co-founders with her brother Bill of Share Our Strength, and they've got one mission, and that's ending kid hunger in America. Am I saying it right, Debbie?
Child hunger. No kid hungry. That's
no
right.
Kid hungry.
No kid hungry.
Kid,
right.
Child. We got five of them.
That's
I call
same.
Them kids.
That's right.
It's okay.
So, I mean, you were originally a political animal, and you had a moment many years ago. It's been almost 2 decades, right?
Yeah, actually three.
Three.
Yeah, closer to three.
So what happened? What was the epiphany?
Well, the impetus for the organization was really something international when Ethiopia was facing this just incredible, horrific crisis around their famine in 1984. So we started the organization really as a response to that. We quickly turned our attention to the U.S. when we realized there were 17 million kids struggling with hunger, but about 50 million Americans. So we really shifted. We're still doing international stuff, but we shifted the focus really to the U.S.
And then but talk a little bit about how you went from just creating this focus, creating this organization, and then why events to help with both fundraising and education? I mean, why go that route? I'm just curious.
It's a great question. And
I'm full of them. Was, I'm just getting started.
it was really the idea to work with restaurants was almost synonymous with starting Share a Strike. So right after we decided to start the organization, we thought that restaurants and chefs who feed people for a living would respond to the idea of feeding hungry kids. It was really and hungry people. That was really the idea behind it. Mm-hmm. And we kind of fiddled around with a few things for a year or two to raise money. But then when we thought of the idea of doing a taste event, which actually there were very few of them. There were some.
Yeah, but nothing like what you guys were putting together. I mean, compared to today.
That's right. And now there are a lot of them.
Yes.
But at the time, 30 years ago, we did our first one in West Hollywood at the Bellage Hotel. Mm. First event with 9 restaurants raised mm-hmm. about, I don't know, $15,000, $16,000.
Okay.
But what we recognized early on were that chefs and restaurateurs were waiting for something, actually, to share their strength, their talent, their skill.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really there at the right time. And they rallied around this idea of helping to feed hungry people almost immediately. And from there, we started to build.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so now we've got Taste of the Nation here, but that's just, well, I want to get into Taste of the Nation. But let's talk about, you have so many different kinds of events, most of them food related. Can we talk about the different things that you guys are doing?
Sure. So Taste grew from one event to, you know, what is now in 50 markets across the United States. We also do these dinners that we call No Kid Hungry Dinners, which are a little bit smaller, more exclusive, an opportunity for us to, you know, get our message out to a smaller group of influencers.
Mm-hmm.
So we do those in about 36, 38, 40 cities across America. We have a national bake sale. We have a new event that I'm working on, which I'm really excited about, called Chef's Cycle. And it's tapping into this passion that chefs have to cycle. Major, you know, Brian Voltaggio.
Motorcycle?
Bicycles. Bicycles, yeah.
Okay.
Nick Stefanelli in Washington.
Right.
Yeah, bicycles. There's this, I think, similar sense of determination and passion and I can do it mm-hmm. around biking that they have in their restaurants. So we're kind of seeing this nexus of biking and cooking. And we're tapping into it, and we're doing a big event in June.
So from where will they bike to where will they bike?
They will. So we're doing a bi-coastal event where they're going to bike from New York to D.C., June 7, 8, 9, 25 chefs, 300 miles, 3 days.
Aside from Brian, I want to meet the chefs. That
300.
Are
gonna, well, and Brian, fall over. Brian I just put on the hook because
wait
he's...
Wait a minute, who? Will Artley, yeah. Will's
riding. Nick Stefanelli's riding.
Right.
Jonah Kim is riding. And then about 20 chefs from New York are riding down
That's
to D.C.
Fabulous.
And then California is going to be Santa Barbara down to San Diego the weekend after.
I want to see Drew Noe on a bike.
We want to get Mike on a bike. Isabella.
I was just going to say.
He's not on.
Yeah, no way.
If the bike has 4 wheels and an engine.
We want to get Mike on a bike.
All right, so let's because I want to make sure we get to this. Let's talk about Taste of the Nation.
Yes.
Coming up on April 13th. Give us the 411 there.
So this, I should know what year it is, and I don't. Somewhere
it's,
between it's 27, 28.
Debbie.
Well, no, I know that.
Okay.
April... April 13th, also at the National Building Museum,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have 100 of the best restaurants and mixologists there. Tickets start at $120. It is everything from a good time, a good cause, mm-hmm. an amazing evening. We want everybody to come out. It's always a lot of fun. You can get tickets at nokidhungry.org/WashingtonDC. Something new and exciting this year?
Yes.
If I could mention?
Yeah, well, we have plenty of time, so
yes.
There's no rush.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say that initially the event was sold out. Like, you guys were already sold out a couple of weeks ago, and then you just opened up another room or something to that effect, right? Because now there's more tickets available.
No, we always sell out at this event.
Right.
News to me that we already sold out.
You had already sold out, okay. And then more tickets were open. I do my homework. I find out what's going on.
We want to give everybody an opportunity to get
right.
there that night.
Okay.
But we always do sell out.
Mm-hmm. And so what's going to be there this year? Tell us about it.
One new thing we're doing, I think it's March 20th, where we're doing something, we're calling it the Golden Ticket.
Okay.
So you can go into like five or six restaurants, and I can tell you what they are,
mm-hmm.
and dine, and then just random, a golden ticket will be put into a check presenter when they get their bill.
Okay.
And they'll get two VIP tickets to taste. So those restaurants are Capnos, Graffiato's, B2, and Belga Cafe. So, and that is, yeah, the week of March 30th.
If you dine there,
you have a chance to win two VIP tickets.
That's very cool. All right, we have to take a break.
It's like a Mike Isabella sweep there.
No, it's a half.
That's good.
Yeah, B2, Belga, Capnos.
Belga's not his, yeah. No. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back,
right.
We'll just do a final roundup with you. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1-T-1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Debbie Shore, who's the co-founder of Share Our Strength. And one of the things we're talking about during the break is how people, you have these events, but there are lots of ways that people can get involved with and support the event, support the organization. And I think it would be great for people to know how they can really do that.
Sure. I thought I'd just kind of mention a little bit about the strategy so people understand how they can get involved.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
So one of the things that is both frustrating but promising about Share Strengths, solutions and strategy to address child hunger is that there's plenty of food and programs and services in this country and mm-hmm. in Washington to feed kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason kids are hungry is because they don't always have access to the food that
right.
they need. So the No Kid Hungry campaign is really about understanding what those barriers are. So, for example, in D.C., we focus on school breakfast, right? Because
mm-hmm.
all the kids that get school lunch in this country, only half of those kids, so 21 million kids in America get school
right.
lunch, right? Only half of those kids get breakfast, 11
so
million.
They, right, so
and only
3
million
breakfast?
Get summer. So you can see that gap right there. And the
so
reason
is
they
summer
don't,
a big focus?
Summer's a big focus. Breakfast
okay.
is a big focus. And summer is a big focus because when schools are closed,
where do they get their food?
Kids are really out of luck. And then
right.
they go into the fall season, really at a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
My brother said recently, which I love, he said, We're not in the ending hunger business. We're in the full potential business.
Mm-hmm.
Because if kids eat, they show up to school more often, they're sick less often, their grades improve, and they generally do better in life if they can get through school, right?
Right.
If they graduate high school. So we're really in the business of making sure the kids have full potential.
And just one last question. For people who really want to get involved with Share Our Strength, for example, like with Taste of the Nation, you raise all these funds.
Oh.
How do the funds then get executed to
right.
help your cause? How
right.
does that happen?
So we have partners all across the country. We have partners here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with our partners to make sure that the funds that are raised, we're working with them to make sure that we get breakfast out of the cafeteria mm-hmm. and into the classroom, into first period. Because if you do that, then the numbers of kids increase significantly.
Okay.
And how do you do that? You have to go into the schools and talk to the teachers. You have to talk to the, you know, have to have a PR campaign. You have to know where the kids are, mm-hmm. where do they live in the city, where they're not getting these services. So all this work, all this money really supports the No Kid Hungry efforts and strategy to make sure that we get breakfast to these kids in first period. Same with summer meals. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that we're setting up, you know, and identifying for families where these summer feeding programs are because they change every year. So they're in Boys and Girls Clubs and rec centers, but families don't know where those are. So we have to make sure that we're, you know, generating awareness and letting people know where mm-hmm. they can find these meals. And all of that really takes funds.
Last question. Do you ever find resistance when you want to go into the schools and talk to school administrators? Do they get self-conscious about the fact that they're not delivering, and do they, you know, stonewall you?
You know, I love that question because there is a sense that teachers don't want this program because it eats up instruction time or creates dirt in the classroom. It's actually not true. We do a teacher's report every year, mm-hmm. and the majority of teachers are keeping food in their drawer to feed kids. The majority mm-hmm. of teachers want to see kids ready to learn. So they're not the barrier that we thought they were going to be.
That's interesting.
And they're really actually very much on the side of getting kids fed in the classroom.
Crazy that this country can't feed our own kids. It's nuts.
All right. Tell everybody how they can get tickets for this great event and how they can donate money for, like, do they sponsor a chef cycle? How do they participate in that as well?
So nokidhungry.org/Washington, D.C. for tickets for Taste of the Nation, still available.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to get involved with Chef Cycle, please contact me at dshore@strength.org, and we'll get you plugged in.
Excellent. I love it.
All right, great.
Thanks.
So let's go back to Nikolai, David, and Dorit, and let's talk about Mahia. What is the distilling process like? Well, you guys went and, you know, I'm going to fill in a little. You decided to found your own distillery in Yonkers 3 years ago, and ergo, you're here today. What's the distilling process like? Is it the same as it would be with, you know, grapes or cactus for mezcal or anything like that?
Probably similar. I mean, basically, we're taking figs from California.
Right.
We're crushing them with filtered water, and then it begins the fermentation process, which is about 2 weeks. We don't add any sugar. Once the fermentation is complete, it's pumped into the still, and
so you're moonshiners.
And gets distilled. Yeah.
Moroccan moonshiners. Okay.
So we use 1,000-liter. Pot still mm-hmm. with 4 plates, and we alternate between 2 and 3 plates. That process takes about 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the distillation is complete, we take the distillate and we cut it with the water, filtered water again, mm-hmm. To 80 proof, and we get it ready for bottling.
So does it have to sit at all? Does it have to sort of mature in
any
way?
No, not at all. It's a white spirit, so it is like moonshine. I mean, it's a clear spirit. There's no aging process whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, after it's distilled, it sits for maybe a day, and then we cut it, and we mix it with an agitator to mix the water and the alcohol so it
David looks
comes
like an
together.
Agitator.
Very agitating.
And then we filter it, and then we bottle it.
Well, so now, how do you drink this spirit? Is this something you sip on the rocks? Is this something you mix? I mean, how do you advise people who are not familiar with it how to drink it?
I think, traditionally in Morocco, they didn't make a cocktail with it. They just drank it straight up,
okay.
You know, full glass or whatever.
Right.
Here we tell people, who are new to it to try it with anything citrusy. And we recommend like a homemade lemonade or limeade. And it really brings out the fig flavor, and it's just such an easy way to serve it. I mean, you don't have to get complicated with a cocktail.
I'm going to make a fig limonada
okay.
for you guys to try right now. So it's just simple syrup and fresh squeezed lemon juice mm-hmm. shaken with the spirit, the mahia. And then I just drizzle a little bit of balsamic vinegar over the top. The fig balsamic is a really classic pairing, you know, in cuisine, so it works
terrific.
As a liquid, in a liquid form, too. It's going
to
be fun. Yeah, so it's very easy to make, and it's really refreshing, and it highlights the cocktail applications.
Well, while we still have our senses about us, let's say hello to Santosh Jairam. Santosh, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
You're there. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
As we mentioned when we intro'd the show, Santosh and a partner are the co-founders of Table 8. The online dinner reservation platform that lets members make and get, last-minute reservations during peak times at the most popular and otherwise fully booked restaurants. And Santosh, you know, I read your bio. You're a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and innovator. You were with Google. You were with Twitter. Why leave them and strike out to do something like Table 8? What was the driving force there?
Yeah, it's a very simple sort of need. But I wanted to actually go out and do something on my own. And you know, I think I hit burnout in my career pretty much the same time as Pete Gettner, my co-founder, hit his point in his career. And both of us decided that we'd love to go do something together. And we started an incubator. And we said, let's throw stuff up on the wall and see what's stuck. And it's going back to the Silicon Valley tradition of paying your dues, working hard in big companies, and then going out and doing what the folks at Google and Twitter did themselves, sort of go and start companies. So we wanted to tap into this instinct that we had when we were kids, when we were 8 years old, when we had bedtime, it was going to bed and waiting for it to be morning again so we'd go out and play. So we wanted to tap into that instinct. And so we said, okay, let's start a company together. And we didn't have any other plans other than that. And Table 8 was one of the projects that came out of that incubator. And it was the idea that stuck, and it then became the company.
So did you guys develop your own software, or was there a team assisting you?
Yeah, there was a team. So what we did was, because both Pete and I sort of paid our dues in corporate America, we sort of pooled some of our money and got a team in Argentina to help us out. And that team is still with us, and they're the bedrock and foundation of our development team.
All right, so...
Okay, so why restaurants? I mean, let's start with, you threw a bunch of stuff up on the wall. I mean, were you a major foodie, like, and your partner? Were you like, why can't I get into this restaurant? What brought you to Table 8? I mean, how'd you get started?
Yeah. So we aren't foodies in the classic sense of the word, in the sense, I mean, certainly not your regular, like your regular listeners either. We're not the ones that sort of crack open a bon appetit and, read it from cover to cover. But we know great food when we eat it. And so the idea actually, came up from a separate project. We were working on another project, and for the Virgin Group, and they wanted to build an interesting sort of, kind of like a Time Out magazine, but on the mobile phone. And, you can open up this application in any destination and be connected to the coolest things to do. And they called it the Digital Concierge. So long story short, we started interviewing concierges, hotel concierges. And eventually, we found out that nearly to a T, every single person, when asked the question what the toughest part of their job was, they come back and say, Santosh, getting people into fine dining last minute, toughest part of our job. And my follow-up question to that would always be, no, what's changed? Wasn't that always hard? And they said, no, until about 5-7 years ago, you could send Mrs. and Mr. Smith over to a steak restaurant and they'd be really happy when they came in. But then, people are far more educated now about restaurants, about, through Instagram, through Twitter, through Facebook, through, Eater and Food Network and so on and so forth, that they're coming in and asking for a very specific restaurant. So when I came back to the office, I had all these notes from my interviews. And so Pete, my co-founder, said, Santosh, you have the same problem, which he pointed to the fact that, when I was starting, this is my third company. So, my gift to my wife when I started the third company was, honey, I'm going to get a babysitter, a standing order that shows up every week on a Sunday and a Thursday, as a way to have conversations and so on. She was very thrilled about it. But then on a Saturday and on a Wednesday, she'd ask me, what are we doing again tomorrow night? And I'd go down.
And you would say, what day is this? Right?
And even though it's been on my calendar for 2.5 years straight, every week, twice a week, I'd have to go downstairs, open up, the reservation platform and sort of go and settle for a C+ or a B- when I would have loved a B+ or if the occasion demanded an A. Mm-hmm. And so Pete pointed that out to me and he said, hey, you have this problem. So we're engineers, we don't jump in into an idea until we have the data. So we spoke to a bunch of restaurateurs in San Francisco and said, hey, what do you think about this? And that's when, the idea caught on.
Well, let me jump in and ask this because, I'm sure people listening want to know how it really works with a consumer and what it costs. It's a mobile app. We played with it a little here. But give us your quick take on, for the completely.
Yeah, absolutely. The second part of the question I'll take first. So it's a free app. It's available on iPhone. It's available on the web. It's available on Android. So that's, it's, you know, it's free for everybody. Now, how it works. There are two things we do. One is, you know, the way we speak about our application, it's sort of last-minute reservations at the world's most celebrated restaurants. So you pay for the reservation. You pay a convenience fee for a reservation if the restaurant is sold out or full, right? And if you can't get the inventory any other sort of general way. But if the restaurant is not sold out for that evening, and if you wanted a reservation, that reservation is on the house. It's free, right?
So you're not paying for something that is already available, is your point,
precisely,
right? Okay,
precisely.
That makes sense.
Precisely. So it's very straightforward, and it's not rocket science in that regard. Now, there are three promises I make to my consumer, the sort of person that's looking for reservations, right? Be it a consumer, be it a business traveler, and so on. The first promise is, if it's on this list, it's a fabulous restaurant. You don't have to muck about with a Village Voice, a Four Doors, or a Zagat, or whatnot. If it's on the list, it's great, guaranteed. Okay.
We have to take a little break in about 30 seconds, but in that, and then we'll come back to you. But can you just tell me quickly, I mean, how did you curate these restaurants? I mean, how do people who know that these are really great?
Well, that's great. I mean, especially because I told you guys just a little while earlier that we're not foodies ourselves. So what we did was we separated the organization into two halves, editorial and commercial, right? Mm-hmm. The editor, and we all fall on the commercial side, and we hired this lovely lady named Virginia Miller, one of our first executives, that she was the managing editor of Zagat on the West Coast. And so she's the one that curates all of our restaurants for every city that we're getting into. So that's the answer.
All right, so you brought in the big guns. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's just a few minutes for commercials, and then we'll come back to you. We want to hear more how people can use this and how business people can use it and what cities you're in, okay?
Sure, Nikki. Thank you.
Okay, great. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a second.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit AARP.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey there, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Table 8 co-founder Santosh Jairam. And Santosh, Nikki had asked a question before about how it works for consumers and all of that. Let's talk about business travelers in particular, because, you know, I don't know if you're in Portland yet. I think you're not yet, but I'm heading for Portland in 2 weeks, and I would love to go to the best restaurant there. And usually the best restaurants are booked, you know, some of the ones here in D.C. are booked 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks in advance. So what kind of special offerings will there be, and will there be bundled offerings with car rentals and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we're not in Portland just yet, David. I'd love to.
He's got to go out there next week. He doesn't know where to go.
Hurry.
but offline, I'd certainly be more than happy to send you a few great restaurants that are definitely on the list. But, you know, how it works for business diners. You know, I think that's it's sort of the cornerstone of our business philosophy, really, is how this all started. So we got the, you know, we synthesized this idea from interviews with the concierges. But then on the other hand, the business vendors are who we sort of serve first and foremost. And the reason for that was, you know, the company that invested in us is a company named Concur Technologies. It's an $8 billion company that's pretty much, think of them as sort of the Expedia or the Priceline for corporate world, right? So these guys handle travel and expense management for pretty much 75 to 80% of the Fortune 2000 companies worldwide.
Unfortunately, mine is not among them, so. But I know of Concur.
Yeah, so these guys, to add to all of that, in 5 months ago, this company was bought by SAP, this large, massive German conglomerate, business software conglomerate. So anyway, when these guys at Concur approached us and when we had these wonderful conversations, they said, listen, here's the deal. You know, there's about $35 to $40 billion that goes through our expense management system, and $8 billion of that is dining, and we don't have a horse in that race, you know, so... And dining appears, you know, is obviously the highest repeat purchase item on the expense category because obviously people need to eat and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they said, hey, listen, while you are serving consumers, you also have to understand that business diners have, you know, their attitudes have changed, their ideas about dining have changed. You know, there's fewer and fewer of them that want to eat specifically at steak restaurants. They love the social cachet that comes from taking someone to a, you know, Rose's Luxury or a, you know, Filmare and so on and so forth last minute and, you know, getting a lot of oohs and ahs from their clients that they're trying to impress or their partners and so on. So then we started doing our research. We dug a little deeper. We found out that business diners, 75 to 80% of them arrive at a destination with less than 10 days notice. So, you know, just like your trip to Portland, in your case, you might have had it planned in the books because you're in broadcasting. But, you know, these guys show up you know, these businessmen and men don't have access. So, and then we dug in a little deeper and found out they invariably spend much more than the median diner primarily because they're entertaining and they're playing, you know, they're spending on an expense account, right? So they're typically buying, you know, older bottles of wine, high-margin ticket items and so on. So anyway, so when we pitched this to the restaurants and said, what if we had a sustainable way to bring business diners to you? Would that be something of interest? And this is when, you know, our mentor, a great advisor to the company, Pat Coletto in San Francisco, he said, Santos, let me tell you the difference between a good week, a great week, and a fantastic week in all of my restaurants. A good week is when we're full. A great week is when we're full and we have a higher percentage of business diners, you know, mm-hmm. And a fantastic week is when our private dining is at full throttle. Mm-hmm. So the closer, the more that you can sort of give me a dependable channel for business diners, the better. So now what we do is we're connecting to different channels, including Concur, with their 25 million business users, and we start broadcasting our availability to the best restaurants in the cities we work in.
Can we give people a list, because we have to wrap up with you in just a second. Can we give people a list of the cities that you are in currently? I know you're in D.C. Sure. And San Francisco.
We are in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Miami currently.
And what are your goals for the next one?
Who's on deck?
Within the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to be in Atlanta and Chicago, in New York City, in Seattle, and in Houston.
Fantastic. Okay, so just tell people quickly. What, do you have a question?
No, we have to wrap up.
I know. It's so fascinating. Just quickly tell us, you know, how people can find you guys now, because even though this is perfect for the business traveler, yes. Of course, the layperson can use it as well.
Yes, table 8, as in the number 8, table8.com. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Santosh, thank you so much.
That's great.
Thank you, Vivian.
Good idea.
And next time you come to D.C., come on the show. We can talk more about it.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Terrific. Okay. Thanks, Santosh.
Take care.
All right. So.
This is delicious.
Yeah, this is.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yes, it's delicious.
It's super easy to make.
Are we?
Sorry. Yeah. It's really easy to do at home. You just take some fresh lemon juice and some simple syrup. It's just sugar and water. And a nice aged balsamic vinegar on top. Just a few drizzles, a little light touch. It'll knock it out.
It's knocking me out.
Mahia is now on my list.
You feel like you're in Morocco right now.
Right.
So City Papers, Chloe Fadina's here. We want to talk about the Best of DC contest, the categories, the celebration, I said it was at the Building Museum. It's not. It's at the Carnegie Library, so one strike against me. Chloe, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi,
We're doing
how are you?
Good.
Good.
So,
good.
How does this differ? For a lot of publications do their best of lists, and
there's lots of lists.
There's
a list on youwantit.com, shameless plug. But you've got categories in here that are like kind of off the wall.
We do. We have everything from best restaurant and best bar to best bathroom to bang in and best tater tots.
Best bathroom to do what in?
Bang in.
Bang.
Let's see. Which
Not
one
bang
did
against
we...
the wall.
See, which one did we? Oh, pardon me. To bang in. Oh.
We should just kick the show off with that.
That's yes. Right. So it's fun. It really, every year we kind of change the categories to really show the change of the culture in the city. Mm-hmm. And it's also write-in. So we don't nominate restaurants or nonprofits or theaters. Everyone writes it in. So it really shows who the city wants or thinks is the best.
Right.
It's not who we think is the best. It's who the city really enjoys.
Right,
so it starts as a nominating process,
yes,
which is going on right now.
Correct.
Right?
Well, it was going on. We had 271 categories up, and now we're down to the final seven, which are our most popular, most competitive categories.
And they are?
And they are
best restaurant?
Yes, best restaurant, best bar, best burger, best place to volunteer, best yoga studio, best realtor, and best theater company, I believe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the top seven from the original voting are now being on a little runoff because these are always such crazy competitive categories.
Right.
So you have until March 23rd to vote for your favorite in those seven. And then the winners are announced on April 9th.
Well,
I'm going to put in a shameless plug for Church Key because our son Sam is a manager at Bertram Barley. So you got musical performances.
We do.
You got breweries. You got. I mean, I was looking at the restaurant list. It's Art and Soul, Bravo, Del Campo, Firefly, Founding Farmers. You got some really great things.
You know, it's everyone that's at the party has been nominated for something. Mm-hmm. It's all really great food. It's so much fun. And this year we're actually making it a little bit better. On site, there's also a competition for best cocktail and best dish of the evening to really encourage the chefs and mixologists to really step up their game and have really great food.
So how do they do that? Who's voting?
The attendees are voting. You'll vote there.
Okay.
It'll either be by text message or we oftentimes do poker chips. So we'll see which direction we're going to go this year.
But and then what do they win?
The restaurant's winning $1,000 and the mixologist is winning $500. So,
okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You've had a couple hundred thousand votes already, haven't you?
We did. We have had over 50,000 unique voters, and then that translates to almost 250,000 votes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Boy.
And so, but now this is just one of many events now that City Paper is doing,
yes,
right? So can we talk a little bit? We have 2 minutes. Can we talk a little, and then we'll come back to you a little bit more. But that's, for a while, this was your big event. But now you're sort of launching these other events. What made you guys decide to go that route?
It's just a really good way to connect with the community. You know, City Paper has been a great paper since the 80s, and now we're having this. We were really able to connect with our readers in person, not just on paper or online. We do a lot of food and spirit based events. We do a lot of other things too. One of our biggest events is a giant craft show that brings
Crafty Bastards.
Yes.
We had you guys in for that,
and it's so much fun. Brings 23,000 people together for a weekend. We do
That's what we had at our house this weekend. Yeah. 23,000 people.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's just a really good way to kind of connect with the community and let people try the things that we're talking about in the paper every week.
Mm-hmm. And just bring it all together.
Exactly.
And how do you feel people are responding? Because they were used to your two big events, but now that you have these other events happening, are people really interested in coming to them?
They are. I think we've gotten a really great response. You know, we get new suggestions every day. We try to see what people really want to be doing and make that happen. You know, we did a Peace School event last year because Peace School is becoming this new cool spirit that people don't know a lot about. And I got to come to an event, try it, get educated on it. So it really helps bring things together.
That's terrific. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll give everybody really the 411 on how they can get in on this great event. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so
annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Chloe, we were talking about the party and all of that. I understand there's a VIP room there as well.
There is. So with your VIP ticket, you get an hour early. You get to come an hour early, so you get to try everything before everyone else does. And there's a limited number of tickets. You also get a VIP lounge, a special VIP bar just for VIPs, as well as a swag bag. So,
what's in the swag bag? Fill us up.
Well, there'll be a lot of really great things, from shot glasses to I don't even know, sunglasses.
Okay.
A lot of awesome.
Didn't mean to stump you.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Stuff. No fur coats.
Maybe.
Well, maybe a fur coat would be nice. All right, and the other thing I wanted to talk about is it going to be live music too? You've got five or six bands.
Yes, we have six bands. Two stages, possibly a third, which would mean we'd be adding even more bands. And they're all really great local bands, from original bands to cover bands.
Do they go one after the other? You're going to have several stages?
Yes, we'll have several stages. They're going, at least two stages going on at the same time. We have Chuck Brown's Daughter's Band is going to be there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Team Familiar, they're amazing. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's a DJ too. I just want to get everything in. There's a DJ from the 930 Club, right?
So a DJ is going to be incorporating different acts that has been at the 930 Club throughout the years. He's bringing vinyl, so people will be able to choose their own vinyl records for him to play.
Fun.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. What DJ is that? Do you know?
He is a local DJ.
Okay. I don't know his name.
Whose name totally escapes me right now.
That is very, very cool. Okay, so let's give everybody one last roundup. How many restaurants at this point?
There'll be 50 restaurants.
Okay, and how many mixers?
There's at least 10 mixologists. We have possibly a few more.
Okay, and VIP hour?
VIP is from 6 to 7, and general admission is from 7 to 10.
Okay, great. And how can people get tickets?
You can get tickets at washingtoncitypaper.com/events.
Okay, VIPs are 100.
Yes.
Regular is 65. Okay, great. And this sells out, and it does sell out every year.
It does sell out.
Yeah, it sells out really fast. All right, great.
And go adopt a puppy.
Yes.
While you're at it.
All right. Thanks, Chloe. Thanks very much.
All right. So, Nikolai, you poured two other spirits for us here. Tell us what you poured.
David and Dorit also distill some organic whiskey, rye whiskey, 100% rye from the Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And the clear, obviously, is an unaged white whiskey. And the rye is 1 year in new oak barrels. It's important that it's new American oak for a number of reasons. For one thing, it's a newly charred barrel. You're getting a lot of flavor in just a year. But
there's a lot of vanilla notes in that.
For sure, from that white oak, for sure. But also it's important because everything from Nami Yossi Feast Distillery is certified kosher. So the whiskeys and everything. So just in time for Passover. Just in time for Pesach. Exactly.
So be a certified kosher drunk driver. That's terrific. Talk about that. How do you get kosher certification for this alcohol?
Basically, all the ingredient is certified by the organization. Like in our case, it's OU, Orthodox Union. And they come and they check exactly to like all the enzyme, the yeast, that we put exactly in the product, it's exactly certified kosher. And that's exactly what it makes it kosher.
And but was there a reason, I mean, to go kosher? Did you feel that it was necessary as part of the process
for
the product?
I mean, it's there is no reason, but basically we wanted just to, you know, to attract exactly the, you know, different market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good exactly for people to know that whatever product we put, it's you know, there is no chemicals, there is nothing there. It's only figs, and you know, we put only 100% figs. And in the case of the rye, we put 100% rye.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing inside, and like the yeast exactly, because there is many type of yeast, different type of yeast, and it's good exactly for people who want to keep kosher 100%. To know that there is a spirit that it's 100% kosher.
And what made you guys decide to go? I mean, you have the fig spirit. Why branch out? Why create more products?
Well, we wanted exactly to have different products, because when you open a distillery, you know, especially like Mahia, a lot of people, they don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make a product that people, they know about it, and they can appreciate. So that's what we came out with, whiskey. And right now we're making different kind of whiskey. We're making a bourbon. We're making a single malt. So we're going to come out soon with a different type of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's aging in a barrel. And in a year, we will come out with different type of product.
Oh, we'll bring you back in a year,
yes,
to try. Let's go back to Mahia in, yes, Morocco, because... You know, Morocco has a it's a melting pot in its own way, and the Jews and Muslims have lived there for centuries. And traditionally, the Jews were the ones that were distilling Mahia,
yeah,
but Muslims were consuming it as well. And, you know, the saying is that, you know, Muslims don't consume alcohol, but I think across the Muslim world there are some that, you know, that do. So is that basically it, that they were, you know, they were the consumers? And the Jews were the consumers, but also the producers, and it was a strict line?
Well, yeah, more or less, yes. Because, you know, based on the Muslim religion, you're not allowed to drink. But Morocco, it's an open society, and people, they drink, you know. And, you know, mostly the Jews, they were the one who were distilling, like in the south of Morocco, where I was born. My father, my grandfather, they were all distilling, and Muslim and Jews, they were drinking, and they used to sing together, live together, you know, in a very good harmony.
That's yeah, it's great. I mean, it, yeah, sort of goes against what you traditionally hear. It's,
yeah,
right, it's amazing. So now, Nikolai, I want to bring Nikolai back in. So now that you're working with this product, where, like, you've made another cocktail for us. What did you do here?
What I did with the white whiskey, mm-hmm, the Legs Diamond. By the way, Legs Diamond was a very famous
Jewish gangster.
Jewish gangster. He was like Al Capone's rival from New York. Yeah,
right.
He was on the New York Times front page 19 times, I think. Over,
yeah,
like,
I think he was shot 19 times.
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shot and stabbed, mm-hmm, just to be certain. But anyway, the white whiskey, I take, again, the lemon juice, simple syrup, and some organic pineapple juice. And I mix that together with the white whiskey for...
That softens.
I don't even have a name for that. It's just, it's fruity and delicious.
No, it's a good...
It's great.
I like this white whiskey.
It's a good morning drink.
It's a nice, yeah, it's a good breakfast beverage. Mm-hmm. The white whiskey has a kind of fruitiness, very fruit forward, I think, for a rye especially, which tends to be on the spicier side of things.
So are there more products that will, I mean, more and more that will come out down the road? Are you going to have a fuller line? Or are you going to concentrate on
these
guys?
Said.
No, we're going to come out with more products. We're going to come out with more product, and especially whiskey. And right now we are making also from apples.
Oh, an apple?
Apple.
Because that's...
Apples are very big right,
yes,
now.
That's, yeah, suddenly huge.
Apple and, yeah, maple, yeah. Those
we'll
are like the two
some,
big flavors.
Apple brandy for Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that makes,
yes,
sense.
Yes.
We have some time,
yeah,
right?
We're working on it.
All right, great. So right now, where can people...
So
find
right
these
now
products
in this area, in D.C., you're going to find this at Magruder's, at Batch 13 down on 14th Street,
mm-hmm,
Cairo Liquors in DuPont, Arrow Wine and Spirits down in the Golden Triangle area, Foggy Bottom area, All of your nicer stores are going to have Potomac Wine and Spirits in Georgetown, mm-hmm. Among many others. And sorry if I've forgotten
to
mention
right.
okay, somebody.
But
okay, it's around.
We're probably some share our strength events,
Paul's
too.
In Friendship Heights, great. For sure. Tonight we're going to be tasting at the 5th Annual Men's Night Out and Seder Summit at Beth Shalom up
okay.
in Potomac, Maryland.
Cool.
It's a really cool event that my friend Joshua London, who's the Spirits columnist for Washington Jewish Weekly,
mm-hmm.
Organizes every year. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They're expecting like 600 people tonight. So
well,
big event
mazel
up there.
Tov.
That yeah. sounds like a great event. Right. Sounds like a great event.
All right, okay. guys. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up everything you.
You
heard about on the show today. You can find more info and in the list are you on it.com, Nikki's
mm-hmm.
website.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Nikki on WTOP 103.5 FM today at 12:40
today and 12:40 right. on Thursdays okay. as well.
All
and
right.
of course, everything we talked about today, we will put out on Twitter when the show is up and live. We're also on the Realm Network, so you can certainly hear us there. Want to talk about who we have coming on the show next week, because we certainly do have a terrific studio. We have Pearl Dive, the guys from Pearl Dive, coming in. That means Jeff Blackie's back in studio.
Not again.
And as we've mentioned in the show, Passover is coming up, so Paula Scheuer will be in. She's got some Passover-friendly recipes. And David Ducard has a whole new line of wines. He's going to come in and pour it for us. So it's going to be another delicious show. So again, we want to thank all of our guests for joining us in studio today. Everybody, please have a delicious week.